full members on the platform here. Are we correcting, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, let me just, when I was speaking to you, I did not pay attention. Yes, Chair, it looks like that.
It looks like that. Okay. Thank you very much. Let me then welcome members of this portfolio committee in their own meeting. You are heartily welcome. Feel free to participate and nourish the debates of this meeting. Thank you for honoring the meeting today. I have received an apology from Umama U Nontando Noluchungu. Is there any other apology, Valerie?
Okay, just on the collation, I don't see Mr. Sithole here. So there's only 5 members. So it's not correcting. We will have to wait till everyone is here. Chair, there were apologies, as you said, from Ms. Noluchungo. And I understand Mr. Sithole has flu, so he will be communicating via the chat line this morning.
Mr. Sithole has flu. Honorable Pete. Peter May, I see your hand is high up.
Morning, Chairperson. I was supposed to see the doctor at 2 o'clock, but they changed it this morning to 11:15, so I'll leave at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
And you can't say you are following me today, eh?
No. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Honorable C. Tole was here. I was speaking to him right now. So you say you don't see him.
It seems Mr. Sithole is back, Chair, and Ms. Kumalo is also in the meeting, so now it correlates.
Thank you very much, Valerie. So we actually have one apology and half apology from Honorable Sithole, who will revert to talking on the chat line. Am I correct?
That is correct, Chair.
So he is with us.
Yes, Mr. Sithole is definitely in the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Valerie. Honorable members, let me also hasten to say I will request to be excused around 10 o'clock. I also have a pressing matter to attend to. Otherwise, let's start this meeting. There is an indication that clause by clause deliberations on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, Bill number 7 of 2020, is not ready to be processed today. Valerie, will you give the meeting officially a report so that we take a decision officially about item number 1?
I'm here, Chair.
Oh.
Thank
you very much. Nange Uchola, the Honorable Minister has indicated that he may have some other businesses to attend. Do you want to say something before you do that, Honorable Minister?
With your permission, Chair, I can do that. My opening remarks and give over to the department.
You can do your opening remarks and we'll allow you then to leave at the time when we get to the department. Your opening remarks is already recorded, if that is in order with you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, Honorable Msebenzi Zwane, Deputy Minister of Transport, Ms. Sindisiwe Chikunga, members of the Portfolio Committee, Acting Director General, Mr. Mwakoma Kaipeya. The Acting Director General is Mr. Mtunzi Madia. He is sick and he's on a sick leave. And that is why today you will have Mr. Mwakoma Kaipeya standing in for him as Acting Director General. The fourth quarter performance information we are presenting today reflects progress in several areas from the previous quarters. However, it equally provides. Is there a point?
Still low. The minister is on the platform. Mute yourself, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. You can continue.
Okay. However, it equally provides us with a clearer picture on the critical gaps and misalignment in our planning, which has been previously flagged by the portfolio committee. These are fault lines we have attended to in tightening our 2022-2023 annual performance planning. Amongst other interventions, we have tightened the performance agreements of deputy directors general to have an ambiguous focus on tangible outcomes aligned to the minister's performance agreement and a clear line of sight of the performance of all our entities. We'll be the first to admit that while the department may have achieved 95% of its predetermined objectives targets, this does not always translate to improving the lives of the people. Transport is in the coalface of service delivery, with services that touch the lives of ordinary South Africans on a daily basis. And our approach to service delivery must demonstrate this. We have taken to heart the counsel of this portfolio committee when we previously presented quarterly performance information. And this is reflected in how we have strengthened our approach to performance monitoring in 2022-2023 financial year. In strengthening the alignment of the department's performance, we have tightened the shareholder compacts and performance agreements of our entities to reflect a sharp focus on tangible outcomes that make a telling difference to the lives of our people. To that effect, we have identified a number of governance indicators which will have the effect of strengthening internal controls, elimination of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and reduction of irregular expenditure. The interventions also include strict adherence to the 30-day payment requirement for services rendered and operationalization of ethics committees. The vacancy rate of the department remains a challenge, although we have moved to fill 61 vacant positions against a target of 50 in the 2021-22 financial year. The decline in the vacancy rate remains sluggish. This is primarily due to high turnover rate and unfunded positions in the department. The turnover rate was largely impacted by natural attrition as a result of the number of deaths, resignations, external transfers, and retirements. We'll continue prioritizing filling of vacant positions to ensure that we attain a 10% or lower rate as previously committed. We are also putting measures in place to ensure that vacancies arising as a consequence of natural attrition are advertised within 30 days of them becoming vacant. We have equally initiated a process to conduct a workforce analysis to determine whether employees in various branches of the department have the necessary skills and capacity to deliver on what they have been employed to do. This is necessitated by the shift in the strategic orientation of our strategic plan and is part of a suite of interventions we have initiated at an organizational level to ensure that officials are fit for purpose. We remain resolute in ensuring that the migration of significant portion of freight from road to rail agenda is realized within the medium term. The baseline freight migration plan developed pursuant to the current approved road freight strategy will be revised. In consultation with the Department of Public Enterprise and Transnet, with a view to finalizing the freight road to rail migration plan. Part of the critical path is the anticipated assessment on infrastructure readiness and the determination of commodities, conditions, and quantities that could be moved from road to rail. We are hard at work intensifying the interventions aimed at addressing challenges relating to our road infrastructure in the country. We are rolling out a comprehensive program to address potholes across all spheres of government, with SANRAL leading a labor-intensive campaign in the coming weeks. We have decided that the potholes is now going to require national intervention. We know that some of the challenges we are facing in terms of the potholes are largely at the last tier of government, which is local government, where you find that in a city like Johannesburg, potholes are everywhere. And you don't get a convincing response from the municipality of Johannesburg about the closing of potholes. And it's not only Johannesburg. It goes worse and worse out of the metros, where you find that potholes are generally become an accepted reality without any intervention. It is worse in the regional roads and provincial roads. I've witnessed this myself in the Northwest, where money was allocated but was rolled over 80 million, not spent on the road refurbishment and revitalization and maintenance. And we have had to intervene with SANRAL now to go back to Volmaranstad to fix a road that was pristine in terms of its condition to something else that you can't explain. We will be implementing an integrated, rigorous, and comprehensive plan that will drive this intervention. And I would like to come and brief Parliament about that to ensure that we improve the overall condition index of our roads. This is an immediate task we will undertake in partnership with all spheres of government. In the rail space, we have launched the National Rail Policy primarily to place rail on a sound footing, to play a meaningful role as a backbone of a seamlessly integrated transport value chain, able to make a meaningful contribution to the economy. This policy is critical in that it will provide for implementation of critical remedial interventions to achieve rail renaissance in the country. In the short to medium term, the outcome of our implementation of the policy will be increased investment, exploitation of genetic technologies, and the much needed competition in the rail sector. The current interventions to recover commuter rail corridors and mainline passenger rail services find expression in the policy as an immediate pathway towards building a resilient passenger rail system on which future interventions will be anchored. Chairperson, the public transport funding model remains a critical building block to enable us to invest in public transport infrastructure and operations in a manner that positively impact on those who rely on public transport from their livelihoods. The integration of the taxi industry into the subsidy regime is a key tenet of the subsidy policy that will be released for consultation. Aligned to this is the rollout of integrated public transport networks in a sustainable manner. We have committed to raising the bar in ensuring that our monetary methodology includes a more interventionist approach and active support to the cities struggling with the implementation of approved projects. This will similarly extend to the piloting of the integrated ticketing system in cities that have demonstrated capacity to manage the IPTN implementation. We have had a number of challenges in terms of IPTN, which have delayed, among others, this intervention of a single ticketing, particularly in many other cities in the country, because of non-compliance of the implementation of the IPTN, and also delays that have brought us thus far. Cities such as Mangaung and Rustenburg remain on our radar for interventions that must result in the speedy introduction of the service. With regard to expenditure, we are again reporting underspending of 292 million, mainly on compensation of employees, goods and services across programs. While the overall performance of the department reflects progress, this report equally provides us with invaluable lessons on what to improve in the 2022-2023 financial year. Through you, Chairperson, I wish to invite the Acting Director General to provide more details on the performance and expenditure of the department for the fourth quarter. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. We will, as we get to that point, invite the Acting DG to do exactly what you said he must do. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Valerie.
Chair, Ms. Ngema will give the response on the processing of the bill so far.
Thank you very much, Mengema Pumelele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, greetings to the members and greetings to everyone in the house. Chairperson, I think let me preface whatever I'm going to say to appreciate that we are working as a task team, and working as a team always has its amazing rewards and its shortfalls. That said, Chairperson, I believe maybe the difficulty with the legislative processing, it does require all the skill that we may put in together. And that is why, Chairperson, unfortunately, in light of the B bill version, which is the one we would have taken clause by clause through the members, it is not absolutely finished and corrected, as Valerie earlier pointed out. And what does that mean, Chairperson, is that because at the stage where we are right now, the committee was supposed to have the A list in the CREDA format, as well as the B bill version, which is the version that normally takes the incorporates the amendment proposed by the committee into a new bill. And so, Chairperson, that B bill version is the one that we indicating there are still changes which have been communicated right up until midnight. And as Valerie indicated, the proofs that were received came in early this morning, just before 8 o'clock. So, Chairperson, we haven't had a chance to even look at that. And therefore, going through the clause by clause deliberations may not then show to be exactly what transpired as approved and going to be in the report of the committee as such. Hence, it might not be possible and easy to do the deliberations clause by clause. That said, Chairperson, the three main issues that perhaps for purposes of the members and giving us the direction and the go ahead, which were indicated as though they were not part of the previous instances. In a way, Chairperson, they were, as pointed out, it's consequential amendment. And I want to begin with clause one in clause one from the questions that were raised previously, Chairperson. One honorable member raised a point in respect of motor vehicle, and we've also looked into that point, and I do appreciate the engagement and the knowledge and involvement of the members, because we are all learning in this process and their guidance is greatly appreciated and insight into these issues. One member made a very direct and clear instance to indicate the mess in respect of motor vehicle, that if we look at the mess of not exceeding 230 kilograms there in relation to the definition of the motor vehicle, the way it appears and that mess may not be inclusive of the big trucks, which when we speak of road, and as the minister has just spoken into the issues that will be addressed later, we do speak about all sorts of vehicles, including those that have masses beyond what is mentioned here. But to clarify that, Chairperson, there is nothing wrong with it. When we read further the whole definition, there is then those that are excluded for purposes of pedal cycle, and to make a distinction between a motor vehicle and a pedal cycle. And that is where, if you read the definition entirely, then the 230 mass kilogram will be related to, not that it will achieve in the end a result that excludes the big trucks. That's one, Chairperson. Then the second one, it's relating to an amendment of clause 28, which is a section 23 amendment relating to permits, including international permits. That one was discussed and the members agreed on the new proposal and the amendment. But what appears in terms of the B bill, as I said, Chairperson, it's distorted or it's located in the wrong place. And therefore, that's another confusion that we would have brought before the members if we go through the deliberations clause by clause. Not that it's not part of the bill, it's not part of the amendments, but somehow the location and ensuring that it finds its place in the corrected bill, there are issues. And that's what we were trying to find ways now that we are communicating electronically and we are not physically meeting with one another. And I think that adds to the challenges that we are facing, the fact that we are trying to be assisted by the gadgets and the equipments that have been forced onto us by the evolution of times and the challenges we face. The last one, Chairperson, is related another. It's a concept and a discussion that has taken place. The committee indicated that they want nothing that speaks to provisional driving license. And in light of clause 35, which is amending also in relation to having added provisional driving license, In the amendment of section 29, the same was brought in. But in the amendment then, consequentially, we were supposed to have dealt with that and remove anywhere where such a word, provisional driving license, appears. And clause 29, section 29, which is amended by clause 29, but by clause 35, did not take that into effect. So basically, Chairperson, those are the changes, but also the corrections that need to appear in the B bill version. And it doesn't take away any improvement or any approval or any deliberations where we are perhaps adding something that the members have had no sight of, have had no discussion. It's basically all those instances where once the final product is before the committee, it must be the most qualitative product. And that's exactly what Chairperson, why there was a request and an explanation earlier on to the Chairperson that in that light, deliberations clause by clause may not be possible and may not be good in a sense that if members approve, they are approving a document that still needs to have ticks and corrections there and there. And it must have been given to members before time in any way so that they themselves can also look into it. So that's basically where we are at, Chairperson. But as far as processing and everything, everything is on board and it's moving rather slow, but smoothly. So, Chairperson, I thank you for the opportunity.
Go back and clean the document, Ngema. This committee, as you know, it will want that document cleaned so that we know what we are working on, and let us get the information back right on time. Members, can we then agree that we'll then start with item number two? Item number one is not ready. It will come back to us. Item number two is a consideration of committee report on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill.
Chair, just for clarity on that, the committee can only report on the bill after the clause-by-clause deliberations has been concluded. So that one will also stand over until the next meeting on the bill.
Okay. Valerie, you're making our job very easy today and very difficult. Okay. Can we then now go to item number one of the day, because the two items have been taken off our agenda. The briefing by the Department of Transport on its 2021-2022 fourth quarter expenditure. And the minister had just said what the department wanted to say in terms of the political head. And we're at the point where Mr. Makaipea was given a platform as the acting Director General of the Department of Transport. Ntate Makaipea.
Good morning, Chair. And good morning to honorable members. Like I've been introduced, my name is Ngwaku Makaipea. I'm the acting Director General Chair. I don't have two actings on the letter, it's only one. With us in the meeting, Chair, we are here.
Acting, because the person who's sick is acting himself. But it's okay, I hear what you're saying on that letter.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We will be presenting as the department our quarter four performance report together with its financials. And then in the meeting, Chair and Honorable Members, we have the executive of the department representing various branches, including the CFO, the DDGs for all modes of transport, public transport, maritime, aviation, to be able to deal with some of the issues that we'll be able to assist. Chair, and I see the minister is still in the meeting, and good morning to the Honorable Minister. We will be presenting the fourth quarter performance report with the time frame, which is January 2022 to March 2022, looking at the reporting elements. Just at the high level, Chair, to then say we had as the department 56 targets for that particular quarter, and we have since achieved 53 of those. We have missed three targets, which really translate into 95%, as the ministers alluded to into the opening remarks. The targets that we have missed are really covering three modes of transport, which is integrated transport planning, rail transport, and maritime transport. And we'll therefore deal in detail with those issues in terms of what are the issues, what the target that we have missed. And lastly, the financial element in terms of the expenditure for that particular report so that we can be able to then explain to the honorable members. The key challenge which the ministers alluded to is really how do we then translate this performance moving forward towards a minimum impact that will be felt on the ground in terms of a key service delivery. And those are our key efforts of how do we want to translate moving on in the next financial year. I'll then hand over to our Chief Director of Strategic Planning, Dade Ramanzi, who then take us through the highlights on the performance at the strategic level, and then the CFO will then deal with the financial element in terms of expenditure and the issues that have been identified there, as alluded by the minister in the opening remarks, and give more details. We'll then take questions and clarity with guidance from the chair. Over to you, Dr. Ramanzi.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, and good morning to the chairperson and members. Good morning to the minister, and good morning to the members. I will just go through the presentation, and I'll consider it as read. Just point out on the key issues that we want to bring to the attention of the committee.
Bosa,
chairperson.
I thought the rules of
My apologies, Chairperson. I should have asked that I be allowed to switch off the camera just to save my broadband. My apologies, Chairperson.
Even if you don't have your tie on, it's okay. We can say you are saving your broadband. It's okay.
My apologies, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson, the issues that we want to bring to the attention of the are some of the issues that are that have unfolded in our performance in terms of our monitoring and evaluation exercise. We have set ourselves a target to respond to parliamentary questions 100%, and these are medium-term targets. So on an annual basis, we will look at how we perform and also look at areas where we can improve in terms of our internal controls to make sure that we meet 100% compliance. The overall response rate for the period under review for both National Assembly and NCOP questions is at 97%. And that 3% is mainly on the issues of externalities based on the responses that we need to receive as secondary information from our entities and from provinces in some areas, and also to ensure that we verify the information before we submit it to Parliament. We'll be improving on our internal controls to ensure that our communications engagements with those with our entities and provinces is improved in this regard. But currently, our response rate is at 97% for the two houses of Parliament. Chairperson, on the issue around vacant positions, yeah, for quarter four, we have 14 vacant positions that have been filled, and this brings to total 61 positions that were filled for the 21-22 financial year. And our target for the financial year was 50, and we have overperformed, and this needs to result in us seeing our vacancy rate going forward. We will come back with our annual report after the information has been ascertained, but safe to say that our turnover rate in the department is also will impact on the vacancy rate that we anticipate we need to reach a target of 10% and below. As per the standards of government. So we are working hard to make sure that vacancies are filled in this regard. In terms of training, Chair, we in the quarter under review, we trained about 15% of the establishment with the headcount of about 91, but the total training interventions that were coordinated were 103. From that number, 38 were males, 57 beneficiaries were female, and 36 beneficiaries were youth, and only one person with disability was trained during the quarter under review. The Bursaries Management Department are 174, And we had a total of 68 interns as at the start of the financial year, 18 interns in the public transport branch and placed at the various municipalities. And then we had 50 interns that were then placed within the department across branches inside the DOT. Six of those interns have since exited the program to take up permanent employment, both in the public sector and the private sector. Chair, with regard to the action plans to address audit findings for the 1920 financial year in terms of the previous audit that was done, the Auditor General's Office, in terms of our management letter, we had 25 findings altogether. During through the action plans, we managed to resolve 20 findings, and we've got out five findings that are still outstanding. However, they are receiving adequate attention. And with regard to our internal audit report, we had a total of 30 findings. 24 of those findings have been successfully completed, leaving six that are still outstanding and that are receiving adequate attention at the moment. With regard to the governance indicators that the minister alluded to, in this current financial year, we had, in terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we had 9 new cases, and all the 9 cases were related to no-shows as a result of travel in the department. Out of the 9 cases, 1 case amounting to around 3,000 was written off. And however, 8 cases amounting to over 15,000 were transferred to debt as part of our consequence management. What we are doing in this regard, Chair, we've got a target, a medium-term target to eliminate all forms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That is by the end of March 2025. On a yearly basis, we will be reporting on the progress and also highlighting what the internal controls that we are beefing up are. As at the end of 31 March, the department had 47 cases. Some of them are historical and with the total value of 68. That is after the 9 cases had been dealt with. With regard to irregular expenditure, Chair, no irregular expenditure has been incurred by the department for the period 2021-22. However, we have highlighted that there are 8 cases that are currently under assessment, and we anticipate that by the end of the audit process, there will be finality around these cases that are currently under assessment. The compliance to the 30-day payment requirement, Chair, we had about 33 invoices that were not paid within 30 days. And what, in terms of our controls, what we have picked up is the issue around delegations. And that's the internal control that we will be focusing on to ensure that we meet the compliance 100%. So the delegations in terms of payments, but however, we need to be very careful, Chair, that the delegations are also tied. Because payment of invoices is at the end of a procurement value chain. So we will not just delegate, but we need to tighten the delegation so that the officials that are delegated to effect these payments are the relevant ones that will take responsibility for the payments going forward. Chair, with regard to the program 2, the issue around the district development model, I think in the current financial year, our involvement and our participations in the DDM was to ensure that the development of one plans in all the 52 district municipalities talk to the transport commitments that should be in the one plans. We have done that, and I think from this the new financial year going forward, we will ensure that 80% of transport commitments in the one plans of all the district municipalities, all the 52 district municipalities, are then implemented, are achieved. I think going forward, we should now look at service delivery and ensure that what are transport commitments in these one plans are then implemented. Chair, with regard to the freight migration plan, which is very important, I think we have developed a baseline draft, and that is derived from the approved rate freight strategy. Our target is to move 10% of rail-friendly cargo from road to rail. However, Chair, the experience over the last 2 years have shown that we need to tighten this particular project. To that regard, the baseline draft should be improved in consultation with Department of Public Enterprises and also with Transnet to address issues that are on the critical path. The readiness of infrastructure, as alluded to by the minister, determination of these commodities that can be moved through rail, the conditions of these commodities, and also the quantities that could be moved from road to rail. So we are in consultation with DPE and Transnet to ensure that we meet our target within the medium term. Where we have not met our target, Chair, it's on the regulations of the autonomous vehicle technology. In the current financial year, a lot of work have done, culminating in a comprehensive recommendation report that will then assist our road transport counterparts to address the legislative and regulatory gaps in the legislations that we have to ensure that we accommodate autonomous vehicle technology going forward. In the rail transport branch, the PSP framework and the HSR framework have undergone all the process, the stakeholder consultation processes, including at our clusters. And they are both now just at administrative level within the department to ensure that the minister is comfortable, and then he can then submit them to cabinet. Where we have not met our target in the rail space, Chair, we are targeted to have the rail bill submitted to cabinet in this financial year. However, the process of the rail bill was halted as there was a dependency in the space. We needed to ensure first that the white paper on the national rail policy goes through approval by cabinet. We are happy to confirm that the rail policy has been approved by cabinet in March 2022, thus paving a way for the rail bill to go through all its consultation stages, and within this new financial year, we should be taking it to cabinet, Chair. In the road transport space, Chair, very quickly, the draft road infrastructure funding policy, we have finalized that, and in this new financial year, we'll be looking at taking the policy to cabinet. And with regard to the Sihamba Sonke provincial road maintenance program, these are the figures that have been reported in terms of resealing, re-graveling, patching, blading, rehabilitation, and also upgrading of gravel roads to surface roads. Job creation in this space has been optimal. We're reporting around 310,000 jobs in the PRM Sihamba Sonke. Over 76,000 of these jobs were full-time equivalents. The youth that benefited from the program are over 89,000, with 196,000 being women, and then 1,489 persons with disabilities being employed in this space. Chair, on the issue of the National Anti-Fraud and Corruption Strategy, our target was to take this strategy for the road traffic environment space. We needed to take this strategy to cabinet, but we had reported since quarter two that there was a change of scope on this one, that there was already a national anti-fraud and corruption strategy that was approved by cabinet. So the change of scope is that we then need to include in that approved strategy a chapter that talks to the fraud and corruption, anti-fraud and corruption interventions in the road traffic environment. And this is the work that we'll be doing in this current new financial year going forward, Chair. In the space of civil aviation, Chair, we are happy to announce that the first batch of the ARPAS regulations have been approved. And in this new financial year, we'll be taking the second and last batch of the regulations so that it can also assist us with our target to reduce fatal accidents in general aviation, Chairperson. Also, with regard to the state of aviation safety, we have observed that the number of fatal accidents have decreased when compared to the previous financial year. We have recorded a total of 12 fatal accidents which indicates a decrease of 4 compared to the period 1 April 2021 to 31 March 2022, as compared to the previous financial year in 2020-21. 17 community fatalities were reported, the decrease of 6 fatalities, and the concern is only around the issue of the accidents themselves. We have recorded 161 accidents, which is an increase of 64 when compared to the same period last year. I think our job is cut out in ensuring that as much as the fatal accidents and the cumulative fatalities have decreased, we need now to work on the accidents to ensure that they also decrease in the going forward. In the maritime space, Chair, very quickly, the Maritime Development Fund bill it's ready for submission to cabinet. It's still with the minister for concurrence. In terms of corporatization, we have already reported that the corporatization was pronounced by the president. DPE gazetted the subsidiary as the National Ports Authority SOC Limited, and on the 13th of October, the DPS called for nominations to establish the TNPA board. So that's the progress in terms of making sure that the corporatization process is done to its full requirement. Chair, with regard to the maritime fatality rate, you will see that there's been increase in fatality incidents and also in the recorded fatalities due to capsizing vessels, which is a concern on that space, because our target is to ensure that the maritime safety is ensured at all times. Where we have not met our target in maritime, it's with regard to the merchant shipping bill. The merchant shipping bill, we were targeting to have it submitted to cabinet as our final, as our annual target. In quarter four, we were supposed to go to S8. We would not go to S8. We went to S8 early in quarter one of this new financial year. Because of its international elements, S8 approved it and then still recommended that it goes to the ICTS cluster. So we'll go to the ICTS cluster again in quarter one and ensure that latest by the beginning of quarter two, then we ready it for minister's concurrence for submission to cabinet. On the public transport space, Chair, we are reporting that 7 cities have already are operational and they are working towards expanding current services. There are three cities that are working to launch their services. That will now bring the number to 10. These cities are Mangaung, Rustenburg and Etequini, and we're working at length to ensure that they launch their new services and they start operating in this current financial year. The passenger trips moved by the 7 operating cities now stands at 117,305. Chair, very quickly, in terms of operational hours of BRTs, currently we are reporting between 15 and 19 hours, and going forward, based on demand for the MTSF, we had targeted 20 hours, but where the demand is for 24 hours, we will need to ensure that we meet the demands of our passengers. Chair, with regard to the taxi recap, in quarter four only, additional 689 old taxi vehicles were scrapped. The total for the year stands at 2,234. Obviously, there are radical interventions that we are bringing in the space, including introducing a cutoff date to ensure that operators can submit their old taxi vehicles. And also, we are running a number of awareness campaigns in various provinces to ensure that we don't only look at adhere to the demand-driven exercise of this, but we also push so that the old taxi vehicles can be scrapped by the operators themselves. Chair, in terms of the Shobakalula bicycle program, in this quarter four only, we have distributed 2,717 bicycles in Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, and Eastern Cape. The total for the financial year was 11,349. And we will still intensify distribution of bicycles in rural district municipalities, and where the demand is also highlighted by the different provinces. Very quickly on the some of the consolidated indicators that are reported through our entities and our provinces. In terms of the rolling stock fleet renewal program, we had targeted to deliver 35 new train sets. 33 new train sets have been provisionally accepted for delivery in the current financial year. We can also report that 6 additional train sets have been completed, just awaiting fitment of one or two of two parts. And once those parts have been fitted, we will see an increase in this figure. The number of stations modernized, obviously for the financial year under review, the focus was on the central line in Cape Town that still continued to be impacted by the encroachment on the rail reserves. However, the recovery process is gaining momentum, and we'll be recovering that line in phases while we work to relocate those who have encroached onto the rail reserves. On the Mabopane line, which was another focus area, at one point we closed it for repairs, and we have now resumed limited services on the line going forward. So those are the two that we had to report for the financial year. The number of jobs created a bit low in this program, 1,347 jobs created, 1,188 of those jobs through the Gibela train manufacturing contracts, and 159 jobs through the signaling program. In terms of the full-time equivalents, we are reporting zero, but there's a partnership that Gibela has with various institutions of learning. 210 bursaries were awarded in various learning institutions. The youth that benefited from the PRASA CAPEX, 809, 414 women were also employed, and 15 persons with disabilities in that regard. Chair, on the road space, the issues around the road regulations, transport regulations, safety and compliance. These are the numbers that we are reporting with regard to number of road users reached and the number of schools involved in road safety education. And you also can see in terms of law enforcement, the number of speed operations, vehicles weighed, drunken driving, and vehicles stopped and checked. That those are the numbers that we are reporting preliminary at this stage. Remember, this is the area that is concurrent, and we are also these numbers will also be subjected to an audit at both RTMC and also at various provinces. And when we come back for the annual report, we will then report our final information in this regard. With regard to SANRAL, the 22,262 kilometers of the network exposed to routine maintenance. Around 93 kilometers of roads, national roads were upgraded, and around 493 kilometers of roads were resurfaced. The jobs created in the space, all the jobs created by SANRAL are full-time equivalents, and those were 8,906. 4,339 youths benefited, 2,406 females, and 61 persons with disabilities also benefited from the SANRAL infrastructure project. These are Siamba Sonke kilometers of gravel roads upgraded. We are reporting only 217, and the kilometers of surface roads rehabilitated, over 5 million square meters, and over 4 million square meters of surface roads were resealed. And the re-graveling of gravel roads, we're reporting 4,964 kilometers, and over 1.3 million of square meters of roads were patched. And 322 kilometers of gravel roads were also bladed. Chair, with regard to job creation, we had highlighted the jobs created through this program in the slides above. In terms of the AXA CAPEX, the number of jobs that have been supported through that the CAPEX program of AXA, it's at 16,378. Which is a bit of an underachievement as per the annual target of 18,405. Just to highlight that AXA is finding its feet after it was heavily impacted by COVID-19 in the previous year. We have reported the approval of the first batch of the ARPAS regulations, and that the other batch will be prioritized in this financial year. We have also talked to the issues around the fatalities and also on the maritime sites. And these are the numbers from the PTOG that are being reported to the department from the provinces for the year, financial year 2021-22. Responses to COVID, Chair, the budget was around 1 million total expenditure for the financial year in terms of our internal interventions to COVID, 858,464 that has been recorded for the financial year. And we have also attached, as part of the requirement, detailed reports on the implementation of the cities that are not complying with PTNG as a DORA framework, and also on the implementation of the scholar transport policy for the quarter four financial year. Previously in quarter three, we had given the committee quarter one, two, and three, and then we're just finalizing with quarter four, so that in the next financial year, we will then continue to provide this additional reporting requirement, Chair. Chair, at this stage, through your indulgence, I can then ask the CFO to take the committee through the expenditure report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Busa Ramanzi, CFO. Are you here with us, sir?
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to the Honorable Minister, the Honorable DM, and Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I will be taking the committee through the quarter four expenditure report, which will be as follows. We'll touch first the expenditure per program, then we'll go to the expenditure per economic classification. I'll also present to the committee the transfers and subsidies. Then finally, I'll present to the committee the environment and rollover that the department have implemented in the fourth quarter. Thank you, Chairperson. The next slide is a slide that shows at a high level the schedule of our expenditure at the end of the fourth quarter. You can see that the budget was a final appropriation was 65.4 billion, and the department was able to spend 64.9 billion. Then there is an underspending of 530 million, which translate in the department spending 99% of the allocated budget. I will be taking the committee through per program as to the reason for the under expenditure. And I will start with the administration branch. Next slide, please, where we are indicating that the reason for the under expenditure, first one is the compensation of employees due to the vacant post that is still existing at that particular point of time. Then another contributing factor is on the goods and services. And these are made up of projects such as the automation tool for internal audit, the slow spending on the document management solution, the termination of the track project at the University of Stellenbosch, as well as training and development due to less training. Furthermore, there was less traveling and subsistence due to less traveling to venues and facilities, as most gathering chairperson were done on virtual platforms. Then on transfers and subsidies in this branch, the underspending is due to lack of intake of students in the universities on bursaries to non-employees for the department. We also have an underspending on the machinery and equipment, and this is as a result of the procurement of bulk laptops where approval was granted. However, the appointed service providers had delays, in procuring a laptops, because there was a global laptop shortage due to COVID, because most of the manufacturing plants were closed during the COVID. However, we have requested the rollover to finalize this project, and also the project on hardware and refresh and switches has been delayed and have been deferred to the new financial year. When I go to the branch, integrated transport planning, also similarly, the underspending is on compensation of employee. And then furthermore, in this particular branch, the underspending was caused by the internal capacity that was utilized for other projects where we did not appoint consultants to do those particular projects, such as the automation, autonomous vehicle regulation, regional corridor strategy, and freight transport model was deferred to the new financial year. Then I want to proceed, Chairperson, to the rail transport, where we have also have got an underspending in this branch. It is mainly on the goods and services, and this is mainly on the project for the appointment for the housing development agency, which is supposed to do work on behalf of PRASA in the removal of or relocation of the people who have occupied the railway reserve in the central line. In this regard, because the agreement was signed late, the department has requested a rollover of the funds so that these funds can be available in the new financial year to conclude and assist with the relocation of those particular people who have occupied the railway reserve. Other factors contributing to underspending included projects such as the Rail Economic Regulator and the National Rail Bill, which is still at the consultation stages, as well as some other operational costs. Then when we go to the road transport, we also see underspending on goods and services, and this is on projects like the program development for the Samba Songe, the development of the road disaster management plan, the road asset management, which were deferred to the new financial year, as well as some other projects. In the road transport, we have also underspending on the transfers and subsidies, and due to is the non-payment for the road for to the RTIA for the rollout of the RTO rollout as a result of the court judgment that does not allow other processes to unfold. Funds have been declared as savings until the court judgment and issues are resolved. Then we move to civil aviation, where there we also have underspending on compensation of employees, and then on goods and services, there's also underspending, and it is because of the less than anticipated spending on the watchkeeping services project, the delays in projects such as the National Aviation Transformation Strategy, the correction factor, AXA and ATN, as well as less spending on travel and subsistence. On transfers and subsidies, in this instance, is due to the saving realized on foreign membership fees, as well as non-profit institutions. Then I want to proceed to the maritime transport in the next slide. Next slide, please. Bosa, yes, thank you. On the maritime transport, here we have got an underspending on goods and services, and is the contributing factors is the feasibility study on the tugboat services, the automated vessel clearance, the marine court of inquiry, which will be deferred to the coming financial year. And also included in the underspending is the International Maritime Organization World Maritime Parallel Event, which was suspended as a result of COVID-19, and furthermore, the less than anticipated expenditure on the oil pollution prevention project. In this branch, we also internal capacity was utilized for some of the projects, such as the review of the merchant shipping, as well as the development of the maritime transport policy and legislation. Finally, I move to the public transport, where the underspending is on the goods and services, is on the projects such as the public transport grant monitoring, also public transport safety plan, implementation of IPTNs in district municipalities, as well as the National Land Transport Information Systems upgrade, as well as other projects. We also have an underspending on transfers due to less intake on the tax recapitalization project. The tax scraping project is a demand driven, wherein qualifying taxi operators decide when and how they will deliver their old taxi vehicles for scraping. Some of the identified vehicles were precluded due to the lack of valid operating licenses. However, the department is proposing that the cutoff date be proclaimed in order to encourage and force the taxi operators to deliver their qualifying old taxis for scraping. We also have savings on the direct charges, which have been realized on the membership fees to the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund. In this instance, payments were processed as agreed with the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund governing bodies for the year under review. Then we go to the expenditure per economic classification. Here, Honorable Chair and members, you can see compensation of employees. The allocation was 542 million. We spent 479 million. And then the underspending there is 63 million. And the in terms of the amount spent for the year, we were only able to spend 88% of the funds allocated for compensation of employees. On goods and services, we had a final appropriation of 749 million. We were able to spend 558 million, and we have got an underspending of 191 million. The expenditure for the year translates only into 74% of the amount allocated for goods and services. Then interest on land, it was expense as indicated, and transfers and subsidies. The underspending there is 233 million. On machinery and equipment, only able to spend 5.2 million with an underspending of 34 million. And then this translates only into spending 13% of the allocated budget. Building and other structures, 38 million. Payment for financial asset, 142,000. And then the total budget appropriated was 65, as indicated in the first slide when I presented the financial report, and we spent 64.9, which translates in that the department was able to spend 99% of the budget. The reason in terms of the spending, I've already indicated, I'll just touch on the compensation of employees, that in terms of the annual performance plan target was to fill 50 vacant posts in the current financial year, and a total of 61 posts were filled at the end of the financial year. It should be noted that most of the posts were filled during this financial year were through internal promotions. And this including the recorded resignations, retirements and transfers to other departments and elsewhere. And this contributed to the underspending on the compensation of employees. I want to move to the transfers and subsidies section, where the underspending is mainly on the slow spending on the tax recapitalization project, and also the RTA, which was due to the court judgment that did not allow other processes to unfold. And the funds indicated that they've been declared as savings, and also savings on bursaries and foreign membership, as well as non-profit organization. On machinery and equipment, this is due to the delays with regards to the delivery due to the global laptop shortage, and a rollover have been requested to address the backlog in the current financial year. Then I proceed to the transfers and subsidies, Chairperson. The table, next slide, please. Slide 81, where you can see that the transfers and subsidies, if we look at the conditional grants, it stated that all the amount allocated to the provinces have been transferred. As you can see that for the provincial road maintenance grant, the public transport operating grant, the public transport network grant, and the rural road asset management grant. Our public corporations, which is our entities, PRASA, you can see the members, 16 billion have been allocated and it was transferred. And we also have SANRAL and all the other entities, except for RDIA, as I indicated previously, that the saving of 64 million is due to the court judgment that did not allow other processes to unfold. And I proceed with the other transfers, where slide 82, where we can see the first item there, the taxi scraping, sitting with an underspending of 156 million. And this is for the fact that is demand driven, and the department have come up with a plan to encourage the taking up of the scraping opportunity. On the bursaries, 2.7 underspending, and this due to the lag intake by the non-employees of the department. And finally, the international organization, a savings of 9.6 million, which is a foreign membership due to less fees paid in the current financial year. Then the next slide, Chairperson and members, will indicate per province how our province have been performing to date. And you can see that in terms of the final allocation, 11.9 billion was allocated to the provinces for the road maintenance grant, and 11.9 billion was transferred. By the end of quarter four, 11.1 billion was spent, and the savings amount to 773 million. This spending indicated 94% of the allocated budget, Chairperson and members. The next slide shows us the public transport operating grant, where the allocation was 7.1 billion and all the amount was transferred to the province, all the provinces. And by the end of March, the provinces were able to spend 6.6 billion with an underspending of 450 million. Here, the spending translates into 94% of the amount transferred to the provinces. Then if we go to the cities, the public transport network grant, here I also want to indicate that there will be a mismatch because of the financial year end of the municipalities is in at the end of June. whereas it means the figures we are seeing is in terms of their timeline and fiscal year, it will be 9 months. So, but however, we were able to transfer all the allocated 5.1 billion. And by the end of the 9 months on their side, they were able to spend 3.1 billion, which translate into 61% of the amount allocated to for the public transport network grant. Then I indicated that there was a environment, next slide please, that the department have processed in the last quarter. And it was implemented in the following, where administration, we reduced 404 million, and ITP 7 million, rail transport 10 million, road transport 605,000, civil aviation 31 million, maritime 7 million, public transport 44 million. All this total environment processed is 101 million. So a total amount have been shifted from goods and services across all the programs as follows. 61.4 million was to fund the interest as a result of the long process of the court proceeding in the matter of Ndoram joint venture for the refurbishment of the Mthatha Airport. Just to take to the members briefly on this particular one was that the department was involved in the upgrading of the Mthatha Airport in the earlier years around 2012-2013, where the department, as well as the Department of Defense, National Treasury, the Provincial Department, and AXA, were involved in this particular project. And as the project was completed, there was issues with the final invoice amount, which the department could not pay. However, the Ndoram company took the department to court, and the matter took long, and it was only resolved in 2021, where the High Court in Mthatha concluded that the department need to settle the amount, including interest. So that particular 61.4 million is the interest that was charged on the original amount of 38 million. You can imagine from the year 2015 up until November 2021. Furthermore, there's also a 1.7 million to fund transfers for the payment of vehicle licenses under provinces and municipalities, as well as transfer to households for officials who have resigned and some officials who have went on retirement that could not have not been anticipated. We, as indicated, we paid 8.4 million to fund the building and other fixtures in relation to the upgrade of the Mthatha Airport. And finally, 142,000 to fund debt written off for travel and subsistence due to no-shows, as well as damages to vehicles that have been hired by the Department of officials. And we also, as I indicated, that the department, together with PRASA, in the next slide where we're talking about the rollover, the SLA was signed and could not be implemented on time as a result of other issues. Then we had to request a rollover for 27 million so that we can be able to support the removal of the people who have settled in the rail reserve along the central line. Thank you, Chairperson. That is the presentation. Thank you.
I know you would have wanted Ntate Makoto Matlala me to say that was a marathon, and let me tell you, that was just a 10-kilometer race. Thank you very much. for the presentation. Honorable members, here is the state of affairs for fourth quarter expenditure. Let me see hands. Who wants to say something? I can see Honorable Lawrence McDonald's hand. Any other hand? Let's take the hand. Honorable McD.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the Minister, Deputy Minister, if they are still here. The department officials. Chairperson, I welcome the presentation of the department, although there are still some gaps between the money spent and service delivery. It's starting to move in the right direction. I do have a concern on the payments towards Rustenburg and Mongong. I see that 472 million was spent to Mongolia, 107 million to Rustenburg. And Jefferson, at some other stage, the money that we are spending on the IPTN must relate to services on the ground. And the total spend of these two projects is reaching to the billions. And I think as a department, they need to investigate, are we getting value for money? Because we can't continue spending money, but when we go to the ground, there are no services currently running and limited services, and it's affecting the poorest of the poor because they are dependent on the IPTNs, Chairperson. Chairperson, and I don't want to waste too much time, and because time is money. I also wanted to say that there must be more checks and balances in the scholar transport. There's been a lot of accidents recently where children has passed on, where the vehicles that were used for scholar transport were unroadworthy and not sufficient for the children. And I think the department needs to move some of its budget into oversight on those. And then on the aviation, Chairperson, you know, aviation is my thing. We are in a situation that we've just come out of an extended period of lockdown whereby airplanes, especially GA, general aviation airplanes, have not been flying. And the current rise in accidents are mostly caused by insufficient maintenance or maintenance schedules that were not done. So the department also needs to take a look at that, Chairperson. And then, Chairperson, I think we're not weighing enough trucks. The trucks, the weigh bridge numbers are too low. We need to weigh more trucks. These trucks are destroying our national roads. It's costing us too much money to maintain these roads. And if the department can up their game there, I would be very happy. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Sorry for taking so long.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald Lawrence. Babu Shaba.
Thank you, Baba. Let me also take this opportunity to accept the presentation. My first question would be underspending of millions of the on the compensation of workers. I would like to know why is this malpractice persistently taking place? Why can't these people underspend on the compensation on their own money instead of those of the workers? The workers are always on strike, thinking that the government
You can switch your video, Honorable.
That you have forever understand you.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then with regard to Mangaung City, I think nothing will happen this financial year. They are still at the developmental stage with regard to BuzzLink. They have not yet started with the construction of roads. And the buses are still a white elephant where they are packed. They are not trained drivers to start working with the bus. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chabangu from Kwakwa. Let's take Honorable Sithole from Ladysmith.
Yeah, man, get angry, Ladysmith.
Okay. Continue.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. But my concern, Chairperson, is the underspending. If you check the department, they don't actually, they are failing to meet their target, because if you have a target, you must actually achieve your target. Now it seems that they are underspending, but their explanation on underspending is not actually acceptable. They have to give us they have to give us actually the reasons why are they underspending on project. That's actually acceptable. But my concern, Chairperson, is that one of the road gravel, because there's nothing that is happening, especially when they are talking about, because when you travel on our roads, most of our roads are, they have a lot of potholes. There's nothing that is happening on our patching of our. Do they have any mechanism or system that they are using to intervene to help the provinces? Because it seems that the provinces are failing. If you're traveling to Freer to Newcastle, you cannot drive more than 10 kilometers because of the potholes. And the patching of the road, they are just patching in the name of patching, but they are a week. If they are patching those roads, they are just patching for a week. After a week, the roads are becoming so deep on potholes. So now I'm trying to check if they are underspending, but there's a lot of that of things that's supposed to happen in our road. They are not happening. They are not doing what they're supposed to do. What intervention, what system do they have actually to help the provinces if they say those are for provinces, because the provinces are getting grant from the national department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
So your ringing of the phone cost me to be muted because somebody thought it was my phone ringing. Babu Keta Mabala. Honorable Pete May.
Thank you, Chairperson. I always blame the provinces, but it's quite clear that the provincial roads maintenance grants is not good enough. What is the situation? Can't they increase the grants to the provinces? And I'll tell you why. It's not about underspending. The money is not good enough. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think Honorable McDonald had asked this question. I just want to emphasize that question. Why would the department transfer money to these provinces, your Northwest, your Free State, Mangaung, if there is no progress? And there are problems there, and the minister has talked about these issues when he was at Mangaung, yet we don't see movement or action at the level of the department. Why would we continue to do that? I think we should appreciate the fact that the department is priding itself on the 60% they achieved in terms of filling in of vacancies. However, I want to say your target may have been lowered, because we still have an issue with the vacancy rate in this department. And this is raised by the portfolio committee every time there is a report here. What is your target going forward on this vacancy rate? We know you may not complete it 100%, but 10%, 15%, when are we getting there? What is your target for next year? 500 million may seem very small in terms of what you have already spent in billions, but it counts. We still have potholes, like other members are saying, and the minister has just said, you have taken a decision to try and intervene, because this has been set in this platform. What are the mechanisms that you as a department are going to devise to ensure that we don't see potholes? Because that's the state of affairs currently, potholes on our roads. Those will be my questions, the questions from my side. Let's go back to Ntate Ngwako, Makaipia, and the team to respond. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members, to the question that have been raised. And we therefore agree that the questions that have been raised are really issues that as the department, we need to really take attention on those so that we are able to improve our performance and the key challenges that are facing the sector. And key, Chair, is I think the issue that is coming across from honorable members on the issues around Mangaung and Rustenburg and the challenges that we are facing. The approach as the department is looking at how do we then, considering that there's already infrastructure that is there, we acknowledge that there have been challenges of implementation in that regard. Do we, one, leave the infrastructure as it is, or what mechanisms do we put in place to ensure that we deal with those issues and ensure recovery of that infrastructure. So the department is meeting consistently with the city's chair to ensure that there is a movement in that regard, to ensure that whatever inefficiencies that were put there, contractors that were appointed that didn't perform, what then becomes consequences in that regard, to ensure that the money of government, taxpayers' money, is therefore accounted for. And as the department, we have taken a posture to then say where there have been wastage, Honorable Chair, there must be actions, and we are considering a process of forensic investigation in both areas, starting initially, firstly with Mangaung, we working together with National Treasury, the service provider will be appointed this month to start forensic investigation on those particular issues, and we'll follow suit in terms of Rustenburg to ensure that the assets that have been purchased and the process are not really put into it. So it's an issue that we really take to heart, and I think Minister has reflected on that particular issue, Chair and Honourable Members. And there were comments made by Honourable MacDonald on the check and balances, on the scholar transport issue, the issue of wave bridges, and the issue of aviation incident. And I'll say we'll take those comments to ensure that we work with our entities and the program that implement these particular issues on the road space to ensure scholar transport elements and the coordination with the provincial department of transport to ensure compliance. And on the aviation space, we share the concern, and our entity, the Civil Aviation Authority, has really acted in that particular space to ensure that we are able to deal with those things. And we'll continue making sure that we deal with the issues in that regard. The issue of underspending in terms of our compensation of employees as the department, it is an issue that we are concerned about, as the chair has said. In the current financial year, we did have made some inroads, especially at a high level in terms of those vacancies that have been filled at the DDG level in the previous financial year. And there are some internal promotion that has happened over the years. And it's something that we are looking at, Chair and Honorable Members, and our target that we have put as the department is that this year, the target was really that 50 that we have put it in, and we want to up it and go on a recruitment drive to ensure that in the next financial year, as aligned to the strategic plan, we up it to ensure that that is really got attention in terms of how we move forward. With regard to the issue of the potholes, which becomes a key element for the department to be able to deal with, like Minister has alluded to, is that we are taking a interventionist approach as the department, where we'll be directly working with the metro, with the municipalities, because we know that's where the challenges are, and working together with the provinces, and how do we then use the skills set that we have at a central level as our entity that has shown and demonstrated level to provide that capacity and assistance at a provincial level. There is a, that decision has been taken of that intervention role, and there is a plans being finalized, and Minister will make an announcement in that regard in very few months, in terms of a few weeks, to ensure that we really dealt with that. It's a matter even at a level of our management and EXCO, it has really got attention in terms of how to deal. So that mechanism, Chair, that you have alluded to, will really come up and ensure that we deal with that. Honorable May, in terms of the issues of maintenance in our provinces, those are the issues that when we do our implementation and monitoring mechanism of those grants within the financial, our roads branch will look at that and ensure how do we then use that package of initiatives and grant within the broader road infrastructure program and maintenance regime, because we believe that is very critical in how we then ensure that we deal with this matter. We will continue to look at the underspending, and I think in the presentation of where the CFO has talked to the financial, there was an indication of where we've shifted some funds in terms of some priority. And we'll keep on dealing with those particular issues as we move forward in terms of ensuring compliance and management. I'll then hand over to the CFO to zoom more into really our reasons of underspending and how we then align that and seek to sort that moving forward. And then Mr. Ramanzi to then make any comments in terms of whatever that I could have left moving forward. Thanks, Chauva, to the CFO.
Thank you, Acting DG and Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Deputy Minister and Honorable Minister and Honorable Members. In terms of the underspending, especially on goods and services, Chairperson and Members, we have now prepared a procurement plan for this current financial year, and which is going to be based with timelines as to when the goods and services should be procured and service providers be appointed and on board. And what we are also doing was that some of the timelines, you may find colleagues put timelines to appoint and advertise bids in January and February, which does not gonna have an impact on the year under review. So we have advised our colleagues from all the branches so that all our dates must be in line with the procurement plan and the potential of spending the funds allocated for the goods and services in the relevant financial year. And that will really assist to improve the spending on the goods and services. Thank you, Acting DG.
Thanks, CFO Ndata Ramanzi.
Thank you, Acting DG. I think you've covered a lot. Just to add on the issue around the vacancy rate, I think the chairperson asked what is our actual target. We just need to state that within the MTSF, our target is to go to 10% and below. And we have identified that the issues that are impacting on the vacancy rate are mainly around our turnover rate as a department. At the moment, we're sitting with a turnover of about 7.8% of the establishment. I think going forward, besides us filling vacant positions, we need to give a tight and a look on the turnover rate, especially on the matters that are already known. We know which officials are going to be retiring. That can be managed, but on the issues of promotion of external promotions, in certain cases we are also caught off guard. But 10% and below is what we are targeting on the vacancy rate. And I think going forward, we've already engaged our COO branch with the HR management to have a proactive plan to deal with the turnover rate, so that as we fill positions, we also deal with the issues of ensuring that the vacancy rate goes down as anticipated. Thank you, Acting DG.
Thank you, Ramanzi Chair. Those are our comments and answers to the question that have been raised by honorable members. And I therefore recognize the presence of the honorable deputy minister in the meeting and the minister and through you, Chair, I'll hand over back to you.
No, thank you, Ndate Makai Peha Mwaku. Right, let's check if the leadership has anything to say before we step off this item. Minister, Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. I'm not sure that the minister is still on. However, I just want maybe to respond on the issue of aviation, particularly general aviation and accidents and incidents there. Indeed, we also are concerned as the department on the increase on aviation, general aviation incidents and accidents. However, Chair, as you'll remember, we did mention during our budget vote that we have actually seen quite a lot of decrease on the number of and the rate of fatal accidents in general aviation. So whilst the the numbers are increasing, however, those are becoming lesser and lesser fatal in their nature. We mentioned that also, Chairperson, that these are small aircrafts that probably are used for agriculture, used for ucishumlilo and all that. So it's in that sector where we are seeing these accidents and incidents. And we have taken measures together with SACA to ensure that the strategy is being implemented to the latter. That is one point that I wanted to talk to Chairperson. But also maybe to emphasize the point that in the commercial aviation, we still don't have any accidents, no serious incidents, whether it is in terms of our air traffic space or our infrastructure. We're not seeing a lot of those, and we're taking very closer look into that area. And lastly, Chair, on the issue of vacancies, we do share the concern with the Portfolio Committee Chairperson, particularly because the public service regulations are very clear that each department should have a maximum of 10% a vacancy rate. In the understanding that at any given time in departments, there will be people that will retire, people that will resign, and probably even people that will die. And therefore there will be some vacancies. However, the public service says that vacancy rate in any of the public departments should not be above 10%. And we're working towards achieving that, Chairperson, in a department that has a lot of a movement of staff resigning, going to state-owned companies that report to us, and others taking positions even internationally and being poached from the department. However, we are working towards that. And I think if you look at the time at which any post become vacant, we try by all means that we meet again the public service regulations, because they too are very clear to say a vacancy should not take longer than a year being vacant, or a vacancy years. So I think all those issues, we are taking them into account, that we look at those positions, we ensure that they are filled well on time as stipulated by the public service regulations, but also that the vacancy rate is at the level as stipulated in the public service regulations. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Thank you. As we close this item, thank you very much. So let me just check. We need to adopt the report, if I'm not mistaken. Can we do that? Can we accept the report, adopt the report, honorable members? Honorable McDonald?
I propose the adoption of the fourth quarter expenditure report to the department, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Any seconder to that?
I second, honorable Chairperson.
Role Buanga Manda Nda.
I'm abstaining.
As usual. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's then deal with the last item. The last item will be the tabling of our program and the minutes. Can we start with the program first? Valerie?
Yes, Chairperson, a draft program was circulated to members. As I've indicated in the email, the National Assembly has not yet given us a program for the third term. That will probably only be available from Thursday. So we are using the parliamentary program framework to draft the program, which will run from 16 August to 23rd of September. Chair, that the third term only allows for 6 weeks of parliamentary work, which translates to 6 meetings for the committee. We've looked at the APP again, Chair, while drafting the program as the team, and we noted, Chair, that the committee planned several activities for the term over that 6 weeks. Oversight to Eastern Cape and Limpopo, a study tour, Chair, that is separate from all the other business like the quarterly expenditure, etc. Chair, so, and there was also a third matter that that was raised in the discussion in the last meeting on the program, which was on having provincial hearings on the railway safety bill. That matter was not concluded. So, Chair, those are the issues that we bring to the committee for consideration, because the next bill up after the other three has been finalized is the railway safety bill. So we need to know the committee's decision whether it will be provincial hearings or the virtual hearings like we had. We need to know, Chair, what is the decision on whether the committee will be conducting a study tour and whether the committee will utilize, Chair, the committee week, which runs from 16 to 19 August for oversight, and whether it will be to Eastern Cape and Limpopo for that whole week, both provinces, or just one province, Chair. Those are the issues.
Thank you very much. Ms. Valerie Carroll, I know members will want to say something here. Let me allow them to say their say. Honorable MacDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I lower my hand, thank you to Ms. Carlos for the presentation. Chairperson, I'm in agreement partially. I think on the oversight week on 16 to 19 August, I think let's concentrate on the Eastern Cape. We've not been to the Eastern Cape. I think there's a lot of issues there, and I think it can be time well spent. But if possible, to fit Mpumalanga or Limpopo or wherever in as well, it doesn't matter. It will be good for us, but Eastern Cape definitely, Chairperson. On the fact, on the matter of the study tour, I think it's important, Chairperson. This committee has not done a study tour, and on the other issues, I'm in agreement with Ms. Carlos. I think we can work with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That was the only hand. I think we should agree as we adopt this report as a 6 weeks. We may not be able to then see those people from time to time who may want to come and address the committee at least for next term. I don't think we may be able to engage with such engagements. We had a number of people who wanted to come and see us, but seeing the program as it is, I think we need to be realistic. We also need to be realistic in terms of thinking that we'll be able to go and do physical visit to the province in terms of what was the name of the bill again, Valerie?
Chair, are you referring to the oversight?
No, I'm not referring to the oversight.
Oh, okay. Then for the for the bill, it is the railway safety bill, Chair.
I think I would suggest that let's deal with oversight as an oversight, like Honorable MacDonald has said, it's important. But do, in fact, we should go towards a position where we say, which are the bills that we can be able to finish properly and begin to focus on those bills, finish them so that we don't leave anything hanging. Those bills that we think, because of time, we may not be able to finish, I think we should be able to identify them so that we don't push and they then lapse because the process was not completed. If members agree with that, let me see a hand that says, let's take this program as a working document. I see the hand of Honorable MacDonald.
Chairperson, I propose that we accept this document as a working and living document, and we can amend it going forward. And thank you, Chairperson, for your input. It was quite helpful. And I agree with you. We must now start thinking on the balls that we can finish. And then if there is space for the roads, for the rail safety ball, let's go to the provinces and let's meet with the people, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Boramato.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Mine is just to indicate that we must be able to balance between the bills, oversight, and public hearing. I'm saying this because when what is in the papers, it's not what we get when we go to the ground. So it is important. We can finish the bills, but what is important is service delivery. So I think we need to balance that. Thank you.
Okay. What would you suggest? Because we are talking at the level where we are saying we have 6 weeks. And what is possible in that 6 weeks? We are saying, one, let's go and do oversight, and mainly the oversights that we had agreed on, Eastern Cape has not been touched, and Honorable MacDonald has indicated that let's prioritize Eastern Cape. So we are going on oversight on the Eastern Cape. On the issues of bills, Honorable Ramato was saying, let's begin to identify those bills we can be able to practically conclude so that we don't leave anything hanging. We are fast going towards the end of our term, so we should be able to work cleverly and ensure that what we started, we finish, put our energy there. And I think that is it. Can we get a second for Honorable MacDonald with what a hand that seconds? Or a hand that rejects this program as a working document?
Sorry, Chairperson, you broke up there for me. If you can repeat what you just said, Chairperson, apologies.
No, I wanted somebody who was going to second you. I've not yet clearly that Honorable Ramato was seconding or not. I just want a second that to your proposal, that let's take this as a working document.
Chairperson, it's Honorable Ramato. I wanted to second with what I have amended, what I have indicated. Okay. to second that, and also to indicate that we must be physically when doing public hearing now. It must not be because we are disadvantaging or discriminating those who can't, who don't have the things to use, who don't know about Zoom, who cannot use Zoom. So we must be physical. Thank you.
When we do what, public hearings?
Yes.
I think we don't, we are not differing.
It's 11 hours.
Honorable Ramadwa, we will be guided with the bills that are left. I know there's a bill that we need to, there was an indication that we must try and go to the people, provinces. We will have to look at that bill and say, how far can it take us in that process? I think the issues of bills, we will, in the near future, maybe next week, just deal with those bills that we can finish. Then we can then entertain the issue you are raising at that level. Honorable Ramadwa.
I raise my hand to second Honorable MacDonald. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The minutes, can we deal with the minutes? The minutes, set of minutes is the item that is left. The minutes of the 31st. I've gone through the minutes. I've not seen anything that needs to be corrected. But if members have any correction to do, let me open the floor. Otherwise, any mover for adoption of the minutes? Honorable MacDonald.
Chairperson, I've also read the minutes. There's nothing untowards and incorrect in it, and I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Umama Ufigile, Kumalo Upi, are you still in the meeting? Mdum.
Chairperson, I second Honorable MacDonald.
Thank you very much, Bora Madwa. You two have earned your salary today for today's meeting. With that, thank you very much once more. Thanks to the department, DM, and the officials, our own officials as the portfolio committee, our honorable members of this portfolio committee. This brings us to the end of the meeting. You can now sing that song that says, Ichaile. Thank you very much. Long live
the chair. Long live the chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed.
Long live, Mangete. Long live.
Thank you very much.
Kavari Chirere, Mudura Chiduro, Kavari Chirere.
Kavari Chirere. Thank you very much, Honorable Manu and everybody. Thank you.